Good morning. And praise the one from whom all blessings flow. Let's pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, breathe on this place. Have your way. Amen. Preaching is proclamation, and there's no set form of proclamation. Some have an emphatic style, like me. Some have a more conversational style. It's all proclamation. In fact, when I was in undergraduate school, we studied in our literature book a sermon by Jonathan Edwards called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And in that literature book, they said that Jonathan Edwards read the whole sermon, never looked up, spoke in a soft monotone, kind of mumbled out a sermon, and is still regarded as one of the greatest sermons. And the report is that many people were moved by the sermon. So that's proclamation. Paul spoke of the foolishness of preaching. He didn't really mean foolish, but to somebody who's just a spectator, to somebody who's not a believer, it seems foolish because the world teaches us that talk is cheap. But we know that there's power in the word of God, and that God uses ordinary people from among us to declare that which no ordinary person is qualified to do. So Moses, when he met the Lord at the burning bush experience, his first reaction was, when he was told what the Lord wanted him to do, was, "I'm not worthy." And so he was called out of disqualification in a sense, but he was available. So I'm available this morning. I'm in the tradition of openness that characterizes this assembly. And it's not just a slogan, it's real. I've experienced it over the 18 plus months we've been here. I'm going to read from, I borrowed one of your Bibles from the chapel. Somebody remind me to return it. I do not want to leave here with the testimony that he was a pretty good guy, but for some strange reason he stole a Bible on the last Sunday he was here. So I'm gonna read from the two verses in the interest of brevity from the version that you use in this church. I'm gonna read the same two verses from the version that we use in our tradition or in our particular church. And then I'm gonna tell you what the Lord has on my mind. We're gonna talk about David. The scripture that I'll be reading refers to David. We'll talk about the story surrounding that scripture. I'll pick up another scripture from David. We won't necessarily read it. I'll tell you where it is. We'll summarize it. That's kind of the story illustration of what I want to talk about. And then we'll talk about the son of David, who we all know and love as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Forgive me for reading the sentence fragment, but I just wanted to read these two verses. Verse 11. Then David gave his son Solomon the plan of the vestibule of the temple and of its houses, its treasuries, its upper rooms, and its inner chambers, and of the room for the mercy seat. and the plan of all he had in mind for the courts of the house of the Lord, all the surrounding chambers, the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasuries for dedicated gifts. Now from the version our church normally uses, same scripture. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. We trust God would bless the reading of his word in his sanctuary. We thank God for being here today. We thank God for New Alliance. I can't pronounce the French version of the church. And Vine Street Christian Church for the traditions expressed. And the thought here is from verse 12, a pattern in the Spirit. And certainly we can talk about what has happened so far today, that somebody was able to discern a pattern in the Spirit to put together the program, the singing, the different languages, the awesome message to the children. And now we gather here today to hear the word, a pattern in the Spirit. David had the desire in his heart to build a temple for the Lord. But he talked to one of his spiritual advisors, and he said, and the spiritual advisor said, "Sounds good to me. Do what's in your heart, King." And the spiritual advisor went and prayed and got a revelation from the Lord that David couldn't build the temple because he had blood on his hand. But yet, the Lord, by grace, gave David the blueprint, the pattern for the temple. And because it's Father's Day, I want to emphasize that David gave the pattern to his son. As men, as fathers, as mothers, as leaders, as grown folks, we are a pattern for those who look at us. The greatest thing any of us can ever hope to be is an example of what Jesus Christ would have us to be. And so, a pattern in the Spirit. David was denied this honor, but yet his son had the opportunity. He didn't make his son pay for the blueprint. He didn't make the son beg for the blueprint. He didn't try to hold the blueprint back because he was afraid that in some aspect his son may surpass him. He freely gave it. And the Lord, in another scripture, said it was good that you had it in your heart to build the temple, David. But there's a pattern in the Spirit. There's a pattern that our children begin to see when they look on us. And sometimes it's kind of daunting because how they think of you later is kind of based on which part of what you presented to them they remember. David had a mixed record. And yet, God gave him the pattern for the temple that we now refer to as Solomon's Temple. And David had the testimony that he was a man after God's own heart. That meant that he followed hard after God, that he pursued God even when he was wrong. He tried to get it right. He committed some serious things, adultery, having cover-up, having somebody killed, one of his own men of valor killed in order to cover up the adultery. And the Lord still used him. So on the occasion of this scripture, he was flourishing. And he said, you know, everything's well with me. I want to build a temple for the Lord. It was a good thing, but because he was a man of war, a warrior, the scripture says, He could not build the temple, but yet he still was a spiritual pattern for his children and for those who follow. Because the kingdom that we are blessed to be a part of is described as a Davidic kingdom, that the throne of David is emblematic of the kingdom that came down through the line and was ushered in during the days that Jesus Christ walked earth. Think about it. When you look at your Old Testament, and I don't care which version, I mean the New Testament, I don't care which version you look at it, when you get to the book of Matthew, which we count as the first book of the New Testament, virtually the first appellation, the first name given to Jesus is Son of David. So we think about this pattern, and we think about fathers and sons. And I think about on Father's Day, I can't help but think about my own father, who grew up probably as poor as you could grow up in Nashville, who quit school when he was in eighth grade for financial reasons. Isn't that sad? He never made it to Pearl High School, but he made it to Korea. He was wounded there. Praise God he survived, because if he had not survived those wounds, I would not be here. Five other men in his vicinity hit by the same shell or the mortar or whatever the right description of it, they died instantly. But somehow, through a plan in the spirit, my dad came back home. When he came back home, he faced the reality of having an eighth grade education in Nashville in the early 50s. Along the way, the Lord blessed him. He got two full-time jobs as a janitor. One at the West End United Methodist Church, and one within a stone's throw of this place is now called the Harding House Condominiums. But back in those days, they were the Harding House Apartments. And so we stand here thankful, glad, coming into the house of the Lord, rejoicing, knowing that when we look back on our life, there must have been some sort of pattern there. And the Lord, even no matter how we came up, always put enough in our lives to bless us. There was always somebody. Ideally, it would have been mom and dad, but it might have been an aunt or uncle or a neighbor or a granddaddy or a teacher or a Sunday school teacher or a coach. But the Lord put somebody in your life that told you right from wrong. They may not have put it in scriptural terms. They may have used words like honesty is the best policy. They may have used words like you need to work hard. Anything that you want that's worth anything, work for. It might have been the kind of thing that my mother used to say, kindness goes a long way. So some things my dad handed down to me were a pattern in the spirit, but of course I did not know it at the time. He taught me about honesty, working hard, telling the truth, managing life so life won't manage you, having a plan, being somebody that can be relied upon. So I praise God for each of you, for this Father's Day, and for the glory of having a father who stood for something, who was tough when he needed to be tough, and who taught me some things that keep me going even to this day. My dad died on Palm Sunday in 2008, 10 days before I was appointed to the position that I now hold in Chancery Court. And he died early in the morning. We went to the house and we sent word out to our church folks about what had happened. And we said, we're gonna have church anyway. I asked my brother-in-law, who's a minister, to preach that Sunday. Didn't really feel up to it. And we had church. Because when there's a pattern in the spirit, you go on. We understand the race is not to the swift, but to those who endure to the end. Those who trust God, those who are marathon runners in the kingdom. Those who are like me, kind of tortoisey, who kind of plod along and trust God. Well, if his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that means we're not going to see too far ahead. That means we're going to have some faith. And the scriptures tells us that Jesus Christ, also known as the Son of David, is the author and finisher of our faith. And between the authoring and the finishing, we've got to do something, because faith without works is dead. And so we got to keep on keeping on, as we say, and not be dissuaded by circumstances, by the uncertainty of life, by the trouble that gets in our way. We just have to keep on going, press to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, knowing that if he is with us, it'll be all right. Even if we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, even if we're going through an uncertain time, even when we're in a situation where we've kind of messed up and made our bed and we're lying in it, we have a God who has such grace that it's hard to even imagine. But he just keeps giving us chance after chance. He just keeps renewing mercies every morning. He keeps on loving us even when we're not so lovable. And there's a pattern in the spirit. I'm going to try to give this story as an illustration of David, that maybe he wasn't such a bad dad after all. In the second chapter of Samuel, the 9th verse, he starts out with a gracious and compassionate question. Is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I can do a kindness for Jonathan's sake? And they said, there's a son named Mephibosheth. We'll just call him Brother Bo. Brother Bo is out in a place called Lodebo, and he's lame on his feet. Lodebar, and the scholars kind of fuss about what it means, but one of the accepted translations means that it is a place of no communication. And sometimes fathers and their children get there, don't they? A place of no communication. Here, Mephibosheth, Brother Bo, was fatherless, grandfatherless. In fact, how he got lame was when the news came back that his father and his granddaddy, Saul the king, had been killed in battle. The nurse who was tending to him started running, and she dropped him. Anybody in here ever been dropped by somebody who was taking care of you, somebody who loved you? Some of our worst hurts come from somebody that didn't specifically intend to hurt us. But that's just how life goes sometimes. And so he was out in this barren place, no doubt afraid that David would discover him and try to kill him as a remaining heir of Saul. But David, in the King James, said, go fetch him. And they brought the servant Ziba, who was tending to him. They brought him to the king. And He adopted him. He put him at the king's table. He restored all of Saul's inheritance to Brother Bo. Maybe David wasn't such a bad father after all. There was a spiritual pattern at work. There was a covenant at work. Because long before Jonathan had ever died, he had a covenant with David. And they basically said, if you outlive me, take care of my family. If I outlive you, take care of my family. And so when you're in a place of no communication, when you feel like somebody has dropped you, maybe there's a promise. Maybe there's a spiritual pattern that covers you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. There's hope for the fatherless. And some of you are so blessed, young, full of energy and strength, have great natural fathers in your home, and you're thinking, what's he talking about, hope for the fatherless? I got a great father. Well, there are going to be times in your life when you will feel fatherless. Maybe it's the first year on campus away from home. Maybe it's the first time you make a really, really dumb mistake. Maybe it's at a time when you weren't a good steward or whatever you had. There are gonna be times when each of us, even if we have a wonderful natural father, even if we have a great relationship with our Heavenly Father, you're gonna feel fatherless. But I'll be bold enough to say what I say to my church. Tell your feelings how to feel. You are defined by the word of God. Not by how you feel. Not what folks say about you. Not what people try to pin on you. But you are defined by the word of God. And the word of God says you're more than a conqueror. The word of God says he will never leave you or forsake you. The word of God says no weapon formed against you will prosper. It might hurt, but it won't overcome you. It can't pluck you out of God's hands, because he is certainly able to do exceeding abundantly above what we could ask or think, and to take care of his folks. So there's a pattern in the spirit, and that's what I want to be for my sons, for my son, my daughters, my children. Praise God. I'm blessed to have two daughters. We're about to close here. I'm going to have to ask you to stand up. I know you don't really want to. Two beautiful daughters here. My gorgeous wife, Sister Renita, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. We've been married 35 years. Praise God. And it took a pattern in the spirit. God is able. And then when we think, and I'm getting to the close, when we think about the man who is described as the son of David, the son of God, the son of man, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the day star, the one who, I told you about the foolishness of preaching, who was 30-some years old and said, before Abraham was, I am. I'm sure they thought he had lost his mind. This one who walked the dusty roads of Galilee, the one who came from a place where they said no good thing could come from Nazareth, but a good thing can come from Nazareth. A good thing can come from West End Avenue. A good thing can come from the housing projects where I grew up. A good thing can come from any part, any place. The love of God, the grace of God can reach. And we just praise God for that. But Jesus pierced in his hands for our practices. Jesus pierced in his feet for all the places we went. We had no business going. Pierced in his head for all the evil and wrong and selfish thinking that we had. And pierced in his side for all the sin and the lust and the anger and attitude and pride that we had in us. Who went to the cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that we could now say, my God, why hast thou forgiven me? That Jesus, whose blood was shed on Calvary in antiquity, has blood that has contemporary power in the 21st century. If we could just only trust him at his word. The songwriter said it, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to stand upon his promise, just to know, thus said the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I love thee, how I prove thee. I'm getting a little shaky on the words. Over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for joy. Hallelujah. Joy. Happiness is based on what happens, but joy while you're hurting. Joy when you don't know what to do. Joy when you can't figure it out. Joy when things have not fallen into place. Joy while you're waiting for your change to come. Joy. Oh, for joy to trust him more. God bless you.